Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's great to be with you as we continue to kick off our 10th year on the air. Can't think of anybody I'd rather do it with than our good friend Steve Del Bianco. See, he's been a constant supporter of all the things we do here at the show, on the Small Business Advocate Show, but especially all the things that you're doing out there, especially with regard to using technology, especially as you connect with your customers. And with anybody else that you connect with, especially over the internet. Steve is Vice President of the Association of Competitive Technology and the Director, Executive Director of NetChoice. More importantly, he's our good friend, Steve. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Jim. It's great to be here, and thanks for all you do for small business, too.
I appreciate that. Steve, you've been a world traveler this year, haven't you?
Oh, more so than I ever imagined.
But, yeah.
Having worked in the state governments, right, and then in the federal government, this year we took on a new cause and to try to make sure the world stays safe for capitalism, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Starting on the Internet.
Tell us where the threat is.
Right now, the United Nations for about 4 or 5 years took notice of the growth of the Internet and thought anything that important, anything that's growing that fast and affecting that many people, well, we just got to have our hands on the control. So the United Nations has taken it on as a mission to sort of take over the management of an Internet that was built completely by the private sector with minimal government interference.
Mm-hmm.
So I attended in Athens, Greece, 2 weeks ago, a week-long meeting called the Internet Governance Forum, and it was sponsored by the United Nations. And I have to tell you, Jim, I'm very impressed with how the United Nations can pull off a 400 or 500-person meeting over several days with complex themes, with simultaneous translation into 8 or 9 different languages and soundproof booths, and the participants wearing headsets for these translations and transcription going on a big white screen to the front. And what else could I add? Concurrent sessions on several different topics.
It sounds exhausting.
It's a circus.
It sounds exhausting.
And here's the alert. The alert to all of us is that the United Nations is patient, and this is the first meeting in a 5-year series of meetings. And they are very clear about their intention to take over the management of the Internet. And that's both technical and financial.
Mm.
Financial. To really get your attention, on the last day, someone got up and proposed that whenever you register a domain name, there ought to be an extra $10 tax paid so the UN can take that money and redistribute it to nations that need to figure out how to get attached to the Internet.
Wealth distribution, redistribution.
And I'm all for having more people on the Internet. The more people that use it, that's more customers for the listeners on this show who are doing e-commerce. And that's always a good thing.
Mm.
It'll empower people around the world to be online. And yet, I don't think the United Nations doing wealth redistribution has proven a track record of being able to do it better.
Well, they've got a track record, an abysmal track record, when you consider their complicity in the oil for food scandal with Saddam Hussein.
True enough.
I mean, that is a horror story, a financial and a human rights, a human condition horror story, in my opinion, that has no peer.
And Jim, you're speaking of an issue that was rife with corruption and incompetence, right?
Oh yeah, and it impacted lots of lives, and I mean millions of lives, and I don't want to dwell on that a long time. My point is that any reasonable person who's kept up with what the UN's participation in that scandal, in that international, actually global scandal. Would not imagine that we could let the UN have the control of the Internet.
And what you brought up was the notion of corruption and incompetence. And let's turn that. You're right about that.
I wouldn't want them to do that if they paid me $10 a month.
Right. $10 a name. But let's turn the page to this. Let's suppose that the UN actually executes it competently? What would their agenda be?
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to just sit tight for a second. I can explain some of the agenda items that I heard in Athens, Greece, 2 weeks ago, and it'll amaze you.
Go ahead.
First thing I worry about is that once the UN takes over, remember that they're subject to the majority voting of their member countries. And we only get one vote. The private sector doesn't get, well, any votes, even though the private sector put the thing together.
Mm-hmm.
So what I worry about is enough countries that are friends of China, Iran, Brazil, countries that censor the content that they allow their citizens to see. All it takes is for them to have a majority to be able to change Internet policies with respect to making it easy to censor content.
Mm-hmm.
China's information minister was there in Athens, and he warned that his nation was not going to allow the Internet to threaten the national security or influence the psychological
development. We already know about their censorship plans. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Steve DelBianco. More of this horror, this potential future horror story right after these messages. Don't go away. It's 22. Welcome back. It's 17-2. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Just had to let Little Richard get that in there. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. We're starting our 10th year of that website, and so check it out. Use it to your advantage. Steve DelBianco and other folks in his organization, like the president of ACT, Association of Competitive Technology, Jonathan Zook, they're all over my website from the many contributions that they've made to educating you and me about technology, about the use of the Internet, about all the different public policy issues that surround those things. Steve, why don't you give us your website, please?
Sure, it's www.actonline.org.
Actonline.org, and then you got that other one too, don't you?
Right, the NetChoice Coalition is at www.netchoice.org.
Steve, we can't... We're talking, by the way, folks, about the UN's plan. They may not call it a plan, but it's obvious that it is a plan to take over the Internet. Basically, Steve, to confiscate the Internet from its original owners. Would that be too strong of a statement?
It might be, because the private sector, which is the original owners, as you said, we spent about $1 trillion to bring the Internet in many different connections to a billion people around the planet. So when they confiscate, too strong a word, because they want to manage it, they want to govern the rules about who gets a domain name, what to do when there's a dispute between two people that have a domain name, where the money flows, and that's what we were discussing just before the break, and also this notion of content censorship.
But Steve, if
should allow it.
Based on what you were just saying earlier before we took the break about China, and we know that that France has got an attitude about how the Internet is managed, and we know that a lot of these countries are not friends. They don't look favorably at the United States. What would prevent it from becoming a confiscation?
Because the assets of the Internet, Jim, are held by the telecommunication companies, the cable companies, the phone companies, you and me at home with our assets to connect to that last mile.
Well, maybe confiscate's the wrong word. Maybe hijack is a better word.
Probably. And I heard a lot
I'm sorry, Steve. I've got an attitude about this because of the Human Rights Council now that's replaced the Human Rights Commission. I mean, we've got an organization that allows Cuba and Libya to be members and chair any kind of an organization on human rights. That's what the UN is capable of. And God help us if they get control of the Internet.
Well, there was, maybe you're closer to being right than I thought, because an entire day was dedicated in Athens, Greece, to the topic of access. And for this UN crowd, access is a code word for finding a way to assist the lesser developed nations in building out the Internet infrastructure that they haven't got yet. And believe it or not, Iran delegate stood up and gave a passionate rail, a diatribe against the whole developed world criticizing us for not coming up with an equitable distribution of resources.
Mm-hmm.
To help more Iranians get online to the Internet. He wants a more equitable distribution of resources. I can't wait to see Iran's plan
right.
for equitable distribution of all those oil and gas reserves they've got. Then we'll talk about whether there's going to be an equitable distribution.
Exactly.
Cuba got up and blamed all of the problems in Cuba on the 50-year-old U.S. embargo and couldn't resist the chance to stand up and say that a fraction of their population has access to the Internet because of the U.S. embargo. And then that's somehow responsible for anything that's gone wrong in Cuba. To which someone from civil society, it might have been Amnesty International, got up and said to Cuba, look, no one in Cuba has access to the Internet.
Right.
Because Cuba doesn't allow true open access. They
right.
actually
Good for them.
Censor. They censor every page that gets through to the people in Cuba that get online.
Well, see, this everything you're telling me, Steve, and thank you so much for going over there, for spending the time, and for bringing this report back to us. But everything you're saying to me sounds like Kyoto Online. See, all the Kyoto Accords was about was to minimize the competitiveness of the United States and some of the Western and other Western countries. You know, maybe global warming is not junk science, but Kyoto was junk policy because it put Western countries, especially the United States, at a disadvantage. And that's what it sounds like to me. Some of these countries want to move the internet toward with regard to the internet.
Kyoto could, however, be a zero-sum game as some nations lose and others win. On the internet, we probably all win if more people around the world in more languages can get online. I think we could agree we could all win. It could
yeah.
be a win-win situation, but the way we've gotten as far as we have on the internet is not by virtue of a government or a worldwide government organization taking control and planning it out. Instead, it's been a spontaneous private sector, customer and market-driven, self-organized process. And the internet is the eighth wonder of the world, and I don't want the United Nations to mess it up.
Well, the all the things you're talking about have one fundamental element that without which it couldn't do what it does, and that's liberty. And Iranians don't have liberty. Cubans don't have liberty. Chinese don't have liberty as much as not true liberty. And as long as we got people like that running the UN, pulling the strings in the UN, we don't need those people in charge of the marketplace for the rest of us.
No, and I agree. And I want to respect the right of China. That if they want to censor what content goes on in their borders, hey, that's
China.
Their business. I just don't want them to impose or facilitate that on a worldwide basis.
And if the UN gets control of the internet, ladies and gentlemen, those are the issues that you and I are going to be dealing with. I promise you it will happen. Ten Till, we'll be right back. We've got more to come with our good friend Steve Del Bianco. He's got more good stuff for us. Stay with us.
Got a black magic woman.
Miss Ann Wilson, ladies and gentlemen.
Didn't take no chances. Who was a prisoner of doubt?
Lead singer of Heart, singing along with her sister Nancy. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and that's rock and roll. Steve Del Bianco is rocking and rolling with us too, folks. He's Executive Director of NetChoice and Vice President of the Association of Competitive Technology. And that's actonline.org and netchoice.org. Steve, tell us, give us a little bit of a clip on the Association of Competitive Technologies.
Jim, it's a trade association that Jonathan and I started after we had sold our own IT company. So we had run our own small business for about 17 years, sold that business, and moved on to something new. So we started a trade association to represent small companies who do IT for a living. And today we've got about 3,000 member companies. We have some big sponsor companies, too, whose platforms that small businesses use. And we're active in state governments. We're active in Washington, D.C. Jonathan's in Europe right now, and I'm doing battle with the United Nations.
So yeah.
we're trying to make it happen.
Folks, I encourage you, even if you're not... you know, if you're a small business owner, you're benefiting from the work that Jonathan and Steve does. And I encourage you to go to their website, find out what they're doing, benefit from the work that they're doing through reading the information that they produce and keeping yourself informed. And if you can, join their organization and make a contribution to their work. And that's actonline.org. Novell and Microsoft have been in the news lately, Steve. What's the story with all that?
Yeah, Jim, one of the things we do that I think will be a little closer to home to your listeners is that many of them are running environments, IT environments that contain, you know, Windows workstations, maybe a Windows server or an Exchange server, but also servers that operate on the Linux operating system.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing more and more Linux show up because Linux enabled less expensive computers with Intel processors to run Unix.
My organization operates in both of those worlds, the proprietary and the open source worlds.
And also what we call a heterogeneous environment, because you've got operating systems from different, completely different companies, and they need to be able to interact with each other and interoperate. So Microsoft, maybe they may be slow, but sooner or later they get it, and they realize they need to be able to embrace and interoperate well. And what they've done is cut a deal with Novell, a longtime Microsoft rival, both in the courtroom and in the marketplace. And under this deal, Microsoft will assist in some marketing of Novell's version of Linux. It's known as SUSE Linux, S-U-S-E, but it's really just Novell's distribution of the Linux operating system.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft wants to be able to tell customers, because after all, the only thing that really matters here is customers. They want to tell customers, we are ready to interoperate, we're ready to stand behind this Linux implementation, and we're ready to say that there's no concern at all at Microsoft with any of the intellectual property or patents in Novell's version of Linux. This can only be perceived as good news for the marketplace,
mm-hmm.
whether you're running Windows or Linux. But as is typical in this debate, the free software religious movement has ranting over this agreement and criticizing Novell for cutting a deal with the devil or diluting in some
right.
way the purity and the ideals of this free software movement that they're behind.
But how is it diluting it?
Because they believe nobody should do anything to impugn the intellectual property concerns of Linux. And
mm-hmm.
the fact of the matter is, if Linux has content in it that is subject to someone else's patent or copyright, customers have reason to be somewhat concerned. So I'm all for seeing these products.
So let me stop you for a second here, Steve. Folks, the reason people use Linux, Steve, and you correct me if I'm wrong, is because you can take that platform and you can create whatever system you want to of your own inside of that without feeling the threat of infringing on someone's patent.
I wouldn't say that. I'd say the beauty of Linux is that Linux allows you to run a Unix-like operating system on Intel machines, which are a fraction of the cost of machines that ran Unix.
Right.
But Linux itself is under the general public license. So if you're so motivated, you could modify the code
right.
in Linux, and you'd be free to do that and free to redistribute.
That's what I was trying to say. But
got it.
But what you're saying is that with the Microsoft deal, there you might be in danger of infringing because of the blending of the two systems.
In some respects, yes. And Microsoft and Novell are trying to come together and say to customers, "Hey, relax.
Yeah.
We've got this handled. We've got a deal. You can use these two together without any concerns at all in intellectual property."
That will remain to be seen, and we'll continue to keep you updated on this. I know, Steve, you will do that for us in the future. Thank you for being here, Steve. Good job, as always. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Jim.
Steve Del Bianco, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blasingame, and as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.